from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there and welcome to the rewrap for Monday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast on News Talk ZB in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB and this morning the DHB continues. The crusade, that is. The DHB crusade continues. I'm starting to miss words out of my sentences. It must be nearly Christmas. How's the value of the social houses? And a bit of a royal wedding clash for you. But before any of that, Mike spotted a little bit of potential trouble on the horizon for this coalition government.
Watch out, Winston Peters coming. One of his long-held dreams is a thing called Kiwi Fund, and it's a state-run KiwiSaver scheme. It's in the private member's ballot. If it gets pulled out, it hits the House. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Who supports it? How much pressure goes on Labour and the Greens? What if they don't buy in? What if they don't like it? Now, you've got to ask yourself, why would we want one of these? Well, a couple of potentially key features. Firstly, compulsion. You would have to join in. Secondly, it's a government guarantee, and that is, I would have thought, as well as a massive incentive, an even more massive risk. So massive, I'm assuming not enough people are actually going to support this to give it some life. But if you want to toss in a third one as well, basically it's too late, isn't it? I mean, think about it. Most people, thanks to KiwiSaver, the rest of KiwiSaver already got. I mean, if you already want to save, you can save and you do save. Australia has had a similar sort of system for years, but compulsion's not really part of our thinking, I would have thought. Mind you, the Australian system is worth a fortune, and large funds bring many advantages in terms of fiscal resilience and economic buffers to difficult days. But one of the greatest fears, and we've seen this with the government super fund of late and their contributions to it, governments are notorious for messing with them. Our governments ebb and flow economically as well as politically. Governments, in a nutshell, cannot be trusted, and the super fund is living proof of that. Superannuation saving thrives on consistency, of course, also longevity. Start young, put money away, don't stop. 40 years later, you're set. Get the government involved. There's no guarantee of any of this. You'll also have issues with performance, of course. I mean, if you're forced to save and the government backs it, the people who invest the money are going to do what? Going to go to lunch, that's what. Why try? Why take a risk? Why pay attention? Why be innovative? What do they care? The money comes in whether they're any good or not. This is classic old world overarching Peters at his best. Last week, and here's the irony, last week I was on board with their vote on euthanasia. Why? Because it gives power to us, the people. It gets government out of major decisions. And yet here we are a week later, 7 days later, and he wants the government all over us. That to me is philosophically inconsistent.
So it's a bit of an interesting one. When especially it got even more interesting this morning when he asked Jacinda Ardern about it.
Winston's Kiwi Fund is in the private member's ballot. If it gets pulled out, do you back it?
Oh, look, to be honest, I haven't looked at the detail of that individual member's bill.
Good strategy. Denial knowledge. We noticed that might have been your strategy, though, Jacinda.
Did you note how she handled the Winston Peters Kiwi Fund thing? The old, I haven't been looking at that, haven't I? You
never even heard of it.
Yeah, never heard of it. You cannot tell me.
Winston who?
You cannot tell me that wasn't raised in the coalition negotiations and it was one of those things that got dumped. And the reason it got dumped is they will never back it. And the reason it's now in the private member's ballot is because it wasn't backed and therefore Peters wants it. And when it gets pulled out, the pressure's going to go on the Greens and the Labor Party to get in behind him. Otherwise, you're going to start to see the tension. Those are the sort of things we're going to see next year that are going to make it interesting.
Of course, another thing we have a lot of interest in watching next year is whether the DHB system is really going to withstand sustained pressure, certainly from Mike Hosking. And it's time for a major shake-up, and it could be coming.
Well, hello and welcome to the party. The Weekend Herald, I note over the weekend, put an editorial in under the headline, "Expenses Call into Question, a Need for 20 DHBs." And so the story was 20 district health chiefs spent $1.2 million on travel, training and meetings. Lots of meetings. And for some reason, as the Herald points out, some of them found the need to travel to places like Paris, London, New York, Amsterdam, because that's what you do when you're the head of a DHB. Why wouldn't you want to look at a health service somewhere else, and why wouldn't that be Paris? Last month, the Southern DHB, so far behind its schedule of cardiac surgery, one patient complained the heart op had been postponed 6 times. And the board said, don't have the money. Northland's board spent twice as much in the same period as did the Lakes CEO, whereas Waikato spent twice as much again. We all know about the Waikato story. So, as the Herald says, it begs a deeper question about the need for all of these district health administrators. Well, glad they finally joined the party.
Yeah, I mean, there's your clear example. Why do you need to go to Paris or New York to talk about how your health system works? Could you not just pick up a newspaper and read about it? And find, you know, just like you can and find out how ours works or doesn't work. Anyway, it's a mystery. We've got some social houses that are worth a lot of money. What are the ramifications of this?
Social housing, as it turns out, is worth an absolute fortune in this country. We're sitting on a gold mine. There are 3,810 houses that are worth more than $1 million. 779 of them are worth more than $2 million. And there is one glorious property valued at $3.4 million. Now, the point of all of this, and Wellington City comes into this equation in a moment, but the point of all of this is that you can see why the department needs to sell them off and use the money far more usefully. Now, the egalitarians that find all of this unpalatable don't get the basic premise that as altruistic as it might have once upon a time been to pepper pot houses throughout the suburbs of this very fine country, that is simply no longer realistic. You can't sit on that level of property with the current level of need we have for social housing and somehow justify it. Which brings us to Wellington and the council. Now, they are now asking tenants of their houses to provide 3 months of income receipts to work out who is in genuine need, which once again has roused the egalitarians. But here's the really disappointing part of all of this whole debate. And it's not just these specific examples. It's been going on for years. Among some in these houses is the most extraordinary sense of entitlement, a sense that it's their house, when actually it isn't, a sense that they got given it for life, which tragically, if you go back a bit, they actually did. It seems unbelievable that the government were in the business of handing out state houses forever, even if your circumstances changed and you no longer really needed them. That law, that thinking, only changed a handful of years back. Surely the underlying premise here is the state provides help in urgent circumstances. It is there when you are in some level of trouble. The theory being, you're not in trouble forever. You aspire to better days. You work to remove yourself from the difficulties you face. And yet, what we appear to have ended up with is a lifelong addiction to help and a certain sense of arrogance to go with it. The council in Wellington, absolutely right, whether you need your property or not, to check that out, the same way the department are right to shuffle their portfolio. Our property portfolio about to adjust to a growing need. It is the clash, and I suppose this is where the emotion comes in, the clash between welfare and commerce, of heartfelt assistance and cold hard economic reality. But in both cases, the state are on the right side of history here. Things need to change.
Now, speaking of cold hard economic realities, it turns out I may not get to go to England next year when the Mike Hosking breakfast, that's me holding up quotation marks with my fingers doing that thing, when the Mike Hosking breakfast goes to check out the royal wedding. But it might only be half the event it was going to be because there's a bit of a date clash.
Very good news over the weekend. Well, the Poms don't think it is at the moment. They're trying to work this one through. Harry and Meghan have set aside Saturday 19 May. But the problem with that is, and by the way, we're going. We'll be there for the week in the lead-up. From May 14, we'll have the big lead-up. Just trying to work out at the moment whether we want to stay the Monday following, just to give you all the colour and the action over the weekend. But we'll be in the there for the lead-up to the royal engagement.
I hope you haven't got tickets to the FA Cup.
Well, final. That's the problem. They've got the FA Cup on the same day. So who books two events like that? Further complicating matters, William. What's William?
In charge of the FA.
In charge of the FA and best man. So where do you go? What do you do?
Well, obviously you'd rather go to the football.
Of course you'd go to the football.
No contest.
Of course you'd rather go to the football. But Grandmama might not be very happy with those particular set of circumstances. So they're going to have to work their way around it. But either way, we'll be there for it. So we look forward to travelling with Air New Zealand to the beautiful old London town for the big wedding in the middle part of May.
To be perfectly honest with you, I don't actually... Just between you and me, and just keep this on the down low, I don't actually want to go to England. I've never wanted to go to England. I certainly don't want to go and watch royals marrying each other. And if I'm going to be really, really honest with you, not super interested in the FA Cup final either. I like beer. I understand there are pubs there and they drink beer. But I can do that here. Anyway, I'm going to pretend that I really want to go and that I'm hard done by with them not taking me. But, we're just between us, I don't really mind. I am Glenn ZB. That was the rewrap. It's the last Monday edition for the year. We'll see you back with the last Tuesday edition tomorrow.